The Secrets of Technology is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give. Hi, I'm Dom Bettinelli, and you're listening to The Secrets of Technology, where we discuss the technology news that's important to you from a uniquely Catholic point of view. And joining me today on the panel are Pat Scott. Hey, Pat.
Greetings.
And Thomas Sinerho. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Dom.
Folks, I want to tell you about another show on the StarQuest Network you're sure to enjoy. If you like The Secrets of Tech, you'll really enjoy Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World, where we talk about all kinds of mysteries, or supernatural and natural mysteries of all kinds. Check it out. You can find that wherever fine podcasts are found, or at sqpn.com/mysterious, or you can go to mysterious.fm. That'll also take you there. And recently, and just to tell you, you know, how well the podcast has been going, recently we were on the podcast charts. At Apple has podcast rankings. And we were recently in the society and culture category between Oprah and Anderson Cooper. So,
oh, wow. That's prestigious company.
I wouldn't go to lunch with them, but it's nice to have that company.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like we were sitting at the Oscars with them, but you know, we were between them on the charts. So that's pretty good. Definitely check that out. If you'll really enjoy that. All right. So I want to get right into, today's topic, which is a very important one, and it's about protecting your identity. You're constantly hearing about security breaches and bad guys getting access to your private information. Bad guys constantly knocking at your door, trying to get you to give the information. And it's not enough that we don't give out our information, but a lot of these corporations are leaking our information everywhere. And so we need to really help ourselves. And we talked a couple episodes ago about the health data being hacked. There was a Kim Komando article about some of the big health companies losing data. My healthcare provider experienced this last year, They had such a big hack that they were down. Their website was down for months. They couldn't process stuff for months. It was ridiculous. So I'll put a link in the show notes so you can check that out if you didn't listen to that one. But Pat, you brought to my attention a story about AT&T in January of 2023. So about a year and a half ago, they announced that there was a breach affecting about 9 million of their customers, where attackers accessed and stole customer proprietary network information. That's a term of business term that they use, CPNI. But just this March, they then revealed a much larger breach that affected 7.6 million current customers. I think more on top of the 9 and 65 million former customers, which includes me, by the way. I'm a former AT&T customer, which exposed information like names, email addresses, phone numbers, date of birth, social security numbers, and account passcodes going back to 2019. So a massive breach, and this is only just one of them. So, man, it's a huge problem. Have you guys been, it might be fair to say everybody that I know has been affected by one of these security breaches. Is that true for you guys?
Yeah, I had United Healthcare be one of them, AT&T be another one. I'm not part of some of the others, but the invasive thing about AT&T was they didn't unencrypt all the data a year ago, and now they've unencrypted their data. Mm-hmm. And that was the biggest part. It was the same breach, but now they've got all the data.
Right, right. Yeah, even my university, Franciscan University, had a breach a while ago and it's one of those things where we're not sure they've got your information, but they may have. So, and they do their, some of them do their best. They sign you up for credit monitoring services. And I mean, I've got so many free credit monitoring services at this point,
I hate to give them all the information either.
Right.
Exactly. And not all of them are all that easy to use, frankly.
Well, and there was a point made that even though the breach occurred, they may not start using that data for another 8-10 months. And so then you've forgotten mm-hmm. about your vigilance. And like the last pass one, it's been like just in the last couple of months that they've found actual occasions of people actually having their LastPass mm-hmm. data now be used.
Right.
Right.
It's just getting into the hands of people who want to use it for nefarious purposes.
And I think sometimes they hold back because people are aware of it right away and then they kind of forget.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or it's just so much. They have so much information that they can sit on it for a while, or then they can start running through it. And by the time they've gotten through the first, you know, quarter of the names they have, it's been a year.
Right, that's true.
And it's not always the same people. The people who steal it, they want to sell it to somebody else. Right. You know? And so
yeah,
you
they're
have,
not the users. Yeah.
Yeah. They pass through several hands and they get into the bad actors. And it's just there's a whole economy and, you know, where it's your data that's the currency. So let's talk about identity theft. What is identity theft? And identity theft predates the internet. I mean, people stealing other people's identity in order to get access to the things that they would normally have. So, but it's really, you know, people trying to get a hold of certain very important information, your social security number, your date of birth, your bank account details. And then they use it to open accounts, steal money, make unauthorized purchases. Sometimes pose as you in order to use services, which can make you liable, like, or, you know, or at least put you in danger of being prosecuted for using services that you shouldn't ought to until they figure it wasn't you.
Medical, where they people will actually go get operations and treatment, and all of a sudden you go to use your benefits, and that they're already expended.
Right. Mm-hmm. In fact, your daughter, my wife, had a situation a number of years ago where somebody in her life used her medical information, and she was started getting bills for medical care that she never got.
Like, right.
She was, you know, in Texas when she was living in Massachusetts. Like, it was just like crazy.
And we think we know who it was.
Yeah, that's
in that case. But most of the time it's strangers who are using your medical insurance to get their treatments done.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they may give the insurance company or the hospital a different address. And so, you know, I'm staying over here, send my bills there.
Right.
Or whatever.
And right. If they have their social security number, sometimes they can get it. They'll use to get a job. And now you're getting tax implications because that's being reported to the IRS as income that you're not claiming on your tax return. It can be a real huge issue. So how do they get this stuff? Well, like we said, data breaches, companies, government computers can be accessed. The security broken, or social engineering was probably even more common, where they trick an employee to giving access to information. Another thing is phishing scams, where fraudulent emails or texts that appear legitimate and ask you to click on a link or, you know, get provide information. Things like credit card skimming, where you've put your credit card in a machine that's been hacked or that sort of stuff. So all kinds of ways, even, you know, physically stealing phones and wallets and that sort of stuff to get that sort of information. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different ways your identity can be stolen. So we're going to talk about how to prevent your information from being stolen, but also what to do if you think it has. So what would you say first to as a preventative measures? What would be your number, Thomas? What would be your number one thing that people should do first, the easiest thing that they can do?
Get a password manager. Just really, honestly, 100% get a password manager that makes dealing with passwords easier. There's lots of open source options out there, so you don't have to buy one of the big expensive ones. I prefer KeePass XC. It's my favorite. It's a locally stored database. I can put it on a USB drive and carry it around with me. Just plug it into a computer, and I have access to all of my my passwords right there. The database itself is password protected, so I need a moderately secure password there, but nobody has access to it other than me on my local machine where I'm using it. So I love that option. I think that option's fantastic. And the thing about a password manager is it makes that process of reinstating passwords much easier, so that every 3 to 6 months, you just go through and clean out your password manager, and you can actually put timers in the password manager that says, you need to redo this password. And so it'll warn you, hey, this password has expired. The password's still good because the website probably didn't expire it, but inside of your password manager, it warns you need to replace this password with a new one. And then it offers to make one for you. And all you do is push a button. You can tell it rules, based on what kind of passwords the sites need. So maybe they need a certain number of minimum characters. Maybe they don't accept some kinds of special characters. And it generates a great complex password for you that you then just have to click a button to copy and click a button to paste. And that's it. And there's even for KeePass, there's even some browser extensions that you can use, mm-hmm. where it recognizes there's a password field and just uses your database to put the password into that password field.
I wish 1Password had sort of an expiration, like a timer, like you have, mm-hmm. this password is more than 6 months old, you should consider replacing it. And maybe even like, let me say these passwords should have a timer, but this is for some, you know, some random right. website. I don't care if someone hacks into that. But 1Password does have a part of it called Watchtower, which will tell you about, you know, there are 13 passwords in your account that are in your database that are reused. You've used them more than once. That's a really bad thing. You know, it's on more than one site. 23 passwords are kind of weak. You have 102 passwords, you know, accounts that could have two-factor authentication applied. And then like you got another one where 50 could use passkeys. So we should talk about those. Two-factor authentication is where you have, your username, your password, and a third thing that lets you in. It's usually a time-limited code that's being generated mm-hmm. based on a formula in an app. So mm-hmm. whether it's Google Authenticator or another app called Authy or inside your password manager, one of those is generating code that expires every 30 seconds or less good, less secure is a text message that you get mm-hmm. with the code in it. Only because
or an email.
Or an email. Only probably
or a pop up on your phone, you know, from like Google Apple. Or one of the right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The text and email ones are not as great because they can be intercepted. They're not those
that's
aren't secure.
True, but for some of my older folks, that's better than what they've been doing.
Right. It's right. Yeah, exactly. Right. Every level nothing, is better than the one before it. Right. That's true.
So if I can get them doing that, at least I'm happy with they're doing something and then gradually move them to authenticator program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of these days we're going to do a whole episode on passkeys, but I need to understand it a lot better than I do. But it's basically kind of like using your phone or a computer or an iPad or something like a key. It is
like an Ubi key almost.
Right. So it's like a special key that you used instead of a password to unlock. And the reason why it works is because these devices now all use, almost all of them use some sort of biometric sensor, whether it's face or touch mm-hmm. or something that's unique to you. So you don't even need a password at that point in order to use it. And that's even better.
Actually, to give kind of a good example of this, I really like Steam's implementation of this. They have uh-huh. an app on your phone called Steam Guard. And when you try to log into Steam on a new computer, it puts a QR code up. And all you have to do is open up the Steam Guard app and scan that QR code. And now you've authenticated that it's you because you used some kind of biometric login to get into the Steam Guard app. And you used your phone to scan that QR code. It's a good, it's a very secure, but very simple mm-hmm. process to be able to log in.
Yeah.
And the really great thing about passkeys is that if they steal your phone, there's nothing they've got. They mm-hmm. don't have anything that they can copy or steal or whatever for passkeys.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. There's nothing that they can look at to get that information.
Right.
It is encrypted in the phone and inaccessible.
Right.
So another preventative measure, make sure your software, your operating system is up to date, especially those security mm-hmm. updates that your phone is alerting you to. Do it. I know it's a pain in the neck. You're in the middle of a hot game of Candy Crush and it's popping up. But, you know, update your phone, you know, update your computer, update your tablet, run those updates because you, I mean, for one thing, it just runs better. They're always mm-hmm. fixing bugs, but it also means that there was very often it means that there was some sort of breach in there and you want to get ahead of that, you know, that. So, yeah, definitely regular software updates. Pat, how about you? What other preventative measures would you suggest?
Yeah, I would say for my group of clients, the biggest vulnerability is them getting fooled by a text, an email, a phone call, a Facebook, thinking that they are looking at a legitimate website or, you know, it's a legitimate correspondence and clicking on it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I tell people over and over again, I see more of that than I do due to software breaches or to, operating system updates or whatever. That's where I see the biggest thing is people assuming because they trust that it looks like they've got information about them. So that must be the right place. The logos look right. The spelling right. isn't messed up. And AI right now is helping a lot with that, making them create texts and stuff that look very legitimate.
Mm. Right.
And a big part of it is getting them to actually look at the reply address or return address of something that's being sent to them.
Right. Big company, Apple, Facebook, Google, whatever, is not asking you to reply to an email address that has a Hotmail or a Gmail address. Even Google, mm-hmm. an internal Google email address is not Gmail. It's Google.com. Yeah, that you're right. That's important. I had, I've mentioned before on the show, I think maybe 2 years ago now. It might have been last year. The time flow goes by. I don't remember. But I had a situation where I got a call. I'm from Apple. We're calling about your Apple card. Are you Domenico Bettinelli? Is this your address? Is this your social security number? Is this your date of birth? They had everything. They had all my information. And I'm like, wow, it sounds legit. And so what's going to happen is you're going to get the thing. It pops up on your phone. And it's going to have six numbers, and I want
Tell
you to read that
are.
Out to me. And I'm like,
no.
And I'm mm-hmm. like, but it says not to. Oh, that's okay. That's just for other things. Like, no, it isn't. I'm like,
right. That's the whole purpose.
I'm like literally on the phone calling him out. You are a scammer. This is not. No, you are wrong. And I refused. I hung up on him. And then I called. He said he was from Goldman Sachs, who runs the Apple card. And so I called Goldman Sachs, their fraud department, and like, no one's been calling you and, you know, from us. And mm-hmm. so I reported it. Now, you know, obviously, I don't know, who knows where if they can even track that sort of thing down. But, you know, stop, think, don't let people pressure you, especially on the phone or text. There's a scam where they pretend to be your nephew or your grandson. And he's been arrested and needs an iTunes gift card for $150 to get out mm-hmm. of jail. I mean, stop. Use some common sense. You know, is this how this sort of thing normally goes? If someone has been arrested? No. We call a lawyer. You contact your grandson's parents, your child, and you talk to them and yeah. say, is so-and-so okay? Or whatever. But, you know, you got to slow down. I think that's the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. Slow down, think, don't act don't precipitously react. When you're tired. That's another big thing.
Yeah. And if you ever have a doubt, stop the conversation and say, I'll call you back in a moment. And if they push really hard on that, that's a problem. That's a clear indication that there's an issue. Because, Microsoft's not going to call you. No. They won't. And if you say, hang on just a minute. Yeah, no, yeah, there's no big company is going to call you and say, hey, there's a problem with your computer. We wanted to fix it. Offer you services for free. Not. It's nope, just not going to happen.
Well, and I had a lawyer who got the grandchild call and it sounded like her voice and she used his pet name for him. And she was calling from a lawyer's office because they were trying to prevent, a drunk driving record when she only was just slightly above the limit. He paid out $17,000.
Oh.
And I had another guy who was tricked by we're trying to detect fraud within this investment company and move your money over here while we try to trap the employee. And he lost $70,000. He was mm-hmm. a lawyer. So yeah. he said, I was tired. I yep. was tired.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anybody can get caught. It just, you don't know how many times a week I find out that somebody's replied to a text or clicked on something or replied to an email. And a lot of these are your account is, you know, is expired. You need to put in your credit card to, mm-hmm. et cetera.
One I see a lot is like you have a package coming via USPS, like, and it, I get a text, you know, and it's like yep. you have to click this link to get your package. And it's like a link in China or like Czechoslovakia or no, ooh, yeah, show how old I am. The Czech Republic or Slovakia. It's like the U.S. Post Office is not routing that stuff through, you know, Europe. It's like,
well, even at that, they've got your postal address. They don't have your text number. They don't have your email address.
Right.
Why would people ever fall for it? But they do.
Mailman comes to your door every day. They'll knock like if they need to get a hold of you. Right. Stop. Use common sense. Think about it. Slow down. Ask other people. That's a big thing. If you have a question, go on Facebook and ask, has anyone else received a message that sounds like you'll get a dozen people who say, oh, yeah, you know what I mean? It's just it. You ask someone knowledgeable around you, but slow down. And folks, the people listening to this show are probably fairly tech savvy. You need to help the people in your lives to know this, like the people in your lives who are not tech savvy.
Your kids.
Yes, right. You're the evangelist. We're giving you the gospel. You're going to take it with you out into the people and help them and show them the way. Because
now, that being said, though, there are some new schemes that are affecting very tech savvy people that we do probably want to mention. Okay, mm-hmm. So there's this thing called pig butchering. The name is very graphic, but it's a really interesting phenomena. And so if you've ever gotten a random text from someone that's asking if you are Joe and are we still going to meet tomorrow, then you strike up a conversation with them because you say, I'm not Joe. You try and tell them that it's the wrong number. And then they start having this conversation with you and you wonder where it's going because you know it's a scam. You feel it's a scam in your soul. you're ready for it, right?
Yeah.
But it just keeps going. The conversation just keeps going. Eventually it will turn around to some kind of crypto something, right? They're a crypto investor. Yeah. they've got something for you, right? They want to help you invest your stuff. And I walked way down one of these rabbit holes because I just wanted to see where it went. I knew it was a scam. I didn't know the name of it before when I was doing this, but I walked way down this rabbit hole. This person offered an app that they were using to do the crypto exchange. They were going to let me get on the app and do the exchange. Like there was nothing that was like me giving them my information. It was just me downloading this app and getting involved. It had reviews. It was, you know, it seemed like a legit app, the whole nine yards. And at that point I was like, no, I'm obviously not doing this. I can see there's a problem here. I don't know what the problem is, but I can see it.
It's very sophisticated.
And it's incredible. And you don't see it coming. You get very involved with this person. Then they touch all of those buttons of like warning, but skirt it the whole time. And it's really interesting. You get comfortable with them and you feel like they're really like trying to help you out. And this is interesting. And crypto's one of those spots where we're all really interested in like, oh, how do I get involved in this? Because I don't know.
It seems like you can make a lot of money there. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And
appeals to our greed a little bit too, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very much so.
And that's how a lot of scams work, by the way. They appeal to our lower nature and then we feel ashamed that we went into, and so we're less likely to tell others we did it, or you know that I get these texts all the time and I have fun with it. Sometimes I'll pretend to be like an automated, like a text bot.
A bot.
You subscribe to Snail Facts, and then I will like text every 30 seconds a fact about snails from Wikipedia, or another. This is one I got the other day. It was just hello. I say yes. This is I'm Tina. Is this Alice's phone number? I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not how anyone starts a conversation with someone they know. Hey, it's me. Who is it? Like, oh, it's Tina. Remember? Like, you don't say, is this Alice's phone number? So I'm like, no. And then I'm sorry. I hope it inconvenience you. No. Like I just
that line right there.
And then my name is Tina. I'm very sorry to bother you. And then I said, yeah, you said that already. Can we just get to the part where you try to scam me? And that was that. They just moved. I do it out of sort of perverse amusement, but And, you know, if I'm keeping them occupied, they're not scamming somebody else, is sort of my justification. But yeah, don't fall for that sort of thing. They lure you in with friendliness, and especially if you're kind of lonely and you don't have a lot of contacts with people, and maybe you're a lonely guy and she sends a picture of a beautiful woman, you know, or he probably sends you a picture pretending to be a beautiful woman. That's, I've gotten those as well. I'm like, yeah, I'm a happily married man. You know, yeah, I'm not interested. So if it's the classic, if it's too good to be true, it is.
Well, and I also very much emphasize that if you've been scammed, or somebody in your family has been scammed, please tell everybody. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your grocer, because you want to prevent that from happening to anybody else, no matter how embarrassed you feel. Even lawyers making tons of money get scammed.
Right. So I want to get to the what to do if you've been scammed, but I want to cover just a couple more things in preventative. When you're, make sure your home Wi-Fi is secure. Almost all of them are now. It's almost, I don't know if you can even use an out of the box Wi-Fi network without a password and, you know, some sort of encryption. But also when you're out and about, make sure you're on secure Wi-Fi. But even then, get a reputable VPN. Use a reputable VPN when you're out. Don't use one of those free VPNs in the App Store. Those are scams, by and large.
They gather your data.
If you're not paying for it, you're paying for it somehow. So, you know, use there's a ton of them, ExpressVPN and
NordVPN.
I have Encrypt.me. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them. But use a good VPN when you're out and about, and they're easier to use than ever. And then one thing you could do, it's almost like if you've been scammed, but this is also a bit of a preventative as well. So this is sort of a bridge of this, which is, there's a website called Have I Been Pwned? Now, pwned is hacker speak for owned, as in I'm a noob, and the expert has owned me, you know, has got one over on me. So Have I Been Pwned? And it's a way to check if your email has been compromised or has been in some data breach. Now, just because your email is listed in some data breach doesn't mean that all of your information, your passwords and whatever, have also been leaked. It just means it's shown up in a list that may or may not be, you know, have the important stuff encrypted. But what they will do is, when you register your email or emails there, a lot of people have more than one nowadays, you will get an email whenever your email address shows up in one of these hacks. So it's a way to stay informed, you know, when this stuff comes up. So definitely check haveibeenpwned.com. We'll have links in the show notes, of course. So what do you do if you've been scammed, or you think you might have been scammed? Well, don't wait. Even if the breach occurred a while ago, like the AT&T one, like back in 2019 or January 2020, whatever it was, take action. Even if you're just learning about it now, take action now. Don't wait, because every moment you wait is another opportunity for something bad to happen. One thing you do is report it. If you know you've had identity theft, or you're pretty sure they're, like for me, guy had my social security number. That's identity theft. If you're in the U.S., there's a website run by Federal Trade Commission, FTC, identitytheft.gov, and you can go there, and they have all kinds of great information, but there's also a report you can fill out about the theft. And what this does is it kind of protects you to say, I reported this. Like, I knew this happened. So if someone says, no, you really did spend $6,000 at this website, you can say, no, I reported identity theft on this date before that. So it helps with that. It's not a guarantee. Any other thoughts on so far on dealing with that?
A paper trail is incredibly important. And if you do not start this process early enough, then the use of your identity gets out of control, and there's nothing you can do about it at certain points. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that there is some documentation that you have seen this happen, or that you have recognized that this has happened, and that you've put that out there as an issue. I hate to say it, but you get a free credit report every so often. You should probably use it. Right.
Right.
So make sure that you keep track of that
the
kind
right
of stuff.
Website too.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
In fact, the big three: Equifax, TransUnion, and TransUnion.
Experian?
Is it Experian? Okay. Yeah. For some reason, I thought it was a travel site. Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. The three major. I'll look it up and make sure it's in the show notes. I'll put the links. But they're the three major credit reporting agencies, and they can provide you with your free credit. I think you can get at least an annual free credit report. I think might
for
even
each
be
of
more
them,
often.
You can get an annual, but you spread it out. So you do one and
that's
then quarter every quarter you do another one and then another one. And then you're back to the original 1 year. Yeah.
Right. Now, some like credit card companies and others will also do that. Like I know Capital One, you can get free credit reports from them. Bank of America also gives you free credit reports from them. They update your credit rating every month. So you can get this information from reputable sources. You don't have to go to, ones you don't know. So definitely check your credit reports.
And don't just Google free credit report. Because then you'll get the scammers that want to that they want to charge you $40 a month or something for it.
Right, right. Don't pay for your credit reports. You don't need to. So, if you think your identity's been stolen or you know it has, contact your bank, contact your credit card companies, credit agencies. If something has been, if you know a crime has been committed, if money has been stolen or other things have been stolen from you, you could report it to law enforcement. Even if it's, if they've gotten data from you, especially if you don't feel safe, file a police report. Like they may not be able to do anything with it, but it's there. And so
it's documentation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And if they do somehow catch the guy, then they know that somebody has, filed a complaint. One thing you can do is you can either freeze your credit or set up fraud alerts, which are two different things. And I want to talk just briefly about them. Both are free to do through the credit agencies, the three major credit agencies. A fraud alert doesn't block access to your credit reports, for credit checks, like if you go in for a mortgage or a car loan or that sort of thing. But it does require that the company checking has to take additional steps to verify their identity and your identity. And so you may get contacted by the credit agency and say, can you provide this information and okay this? You only need to do it at one of the three credit bureaus. You don't have to go to all three to do it, to set up fraud alerts. Now, a credit freeze is a bigger step that turns off your credit, basically. In the sense of no one can do any credit checks on you. You can't open credit new accounts, that sort of thing until you unfreeze it. But you have you mm-hmm. and it's usually blocked behind a PIN or a password and that sort of thing. This is one thing I did when I had my situation happen. I was like, that's. And again, I did it for free through the credit agencies. And then I wanted to open up a new credit card account because at Costco, I'm a Costco dad now. And it's a whole nother thing. Ooh. And so I was I unfroze my accounts, applied. And then when it was done, I went back in and froze them back up again. Nice and easy. There was a little delay. It's not automatic and there's a couple of days there where it's open, that sort of thing. But it was simple enough to do. I mean, in fact, yeah. I'd almost say most people that might should. Be something you want to should. Think about doing just preventatively.
Yeah. And the other thing is some of them will say get in with your PIN or whatever and unlock it, and then it will automatically lock back up after X number of days. And yeah. I like that option when they have that. The locks are very helpful, but when you set it up initially, they will tell you, write this down, write this pin down, because you won't be able to unlock it without it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so you do whatever you do, safe. You make sure you have that well documented.
Put it in your password manager. There's usually a place in there to store notes. then print it out and put it in a locked file cabinet, preferably in the fireproof safe where your most important documents are. We all have one of those, right? Right. So that reminds me, I get it. Let me make a note.
Exactly.
So, but yeah, but you know, you're right, Pat. If you don't have it, they won't let you in. That's there's no forgot your password option on that one.
Nope, no reset. No.
So my brother did LifeLock, which is expensive. I'm not sure. LifeLock is basically just doing a lot of the steps we're telling you about for you. I'm not sure it's any better than any of these, honestly.
My experience is that it handholds you through remediation afterwards. It doesn't prevent it.
Right. Right.
In a lot of ways, that's definitely true. Yeah.
Yeah. The infamous case is the president of LifeLock, like, gave out his social security number, in an ad and said, no one can breach this. And he got breached. So, yeah.
Of course he did.
Yeah. Don't challenge.
One other thing I would say as a post, but potentially as a preventative measure too, there's a website called Delete Me. Delete.me. It's really good. It goes out and trolls a lot of the different spots where your data has been sold to different vendors, and will get rid of it. So they know how to do the requests. They know how to go through and make those requests on your behalf so that your information gets taken off of these extant sites where it can just be hauled in from. It's not going to prevent the black market stuff, but it'll prevent the day-to-day stuff that's out there. And it's really not very expensive for what it does.
Incognito is the one that Kim Komando, and I've seen other people recommending it too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They said it really reduced the amount of spam and the amount of calls and stuff that they were getting because fewer people had their stuff.
Right.
And I've been waiting to look at that because it makes me feel a little weird to say, you know, can they really do this? But as you say, it's not the black market ones they're going after. It's
right.
It's the other data traders.
There are sites. If you Google your own name, you will find that there are sites that will purport to have your address and phone number and all of the places you've ever lived and that sort of thing. The information, it's at least the public facing information, is not always that accurate, especially when you're lucky enough to share an unusual name with several other people like I do. So it's got all of our information all mixed up together, which is fine by me. But you may want to do this, you know, to remove your information from not just those like these, the data traders, but also sites where you no longer have accounts that have information about you there still. That's another thing that's slain out there. Your data in accounts you've closed. That's
or you thought you can't close because you don't have the password to get back in to close them.
Exactly.
Right. I have a bunch of those that I have tried. I have valiantly tried.
There are services I've heard of. I don't know much about them, so I can't recommend them, that will send legal letters to companies. I mean, so obviously it costs money, but they will send letters to these companies on, you know, legal letterhead demanding proof that they removed this.
I think Incognito does that as well. Yeah.
Okay.
And so that was one of their things, is they will contact them in multiple ways.
Okay. We've already mentioned about reviewing your credit card reports regularly. Look for unusual accounts you don't recognize, charges you don't recognize. You can look at when your credit card statements come in, your bank statements come in every month. Look through them. Look for things you don't recognize. You know, that's important. That's what they're counting on, is you not noticing, especially if they're small enough transactions. Set up alerts. My Bank of America allows you to set up alerts so that if a transaction over a certain size occurs, it will alert you. I get those, you know.
I get texts and emails, et cetera, and I love them.
Yes, exactly. Those are the ones I love to get. So that's good. And if you've gotten one of those, you know, if you've been involved in a data breach and you've gotten free monitoring service, you may as well set it up and use it if it's easy enough to use. You know, just set it up and let it monitor the stuff and alert you. It can't hurt as long as it's a reputable monitoring service, like the company that is paying for it went out and found a decent one, as opposed to fly by night, my brother-in-law of the CEO. You know what I mean?
Right. So, I understand.
change your, if you've had a breach, change passwords, change PINs. Even if you suspect that one site may or may not, just do it. Just go ahead and do it. With a password manager, it's easy enough to change these things. So just go ahead and do it. And if you have a pretty complex case, if you know, you've got, you know, a lot going on, or it's a lot of money, you may need to hire a lawyer or a credit counselor. I mean, it's just, it may come to that.
So. Well, one of the things that I found today was that AARP has a free service of volunteers that you can, that somebody, you know, especially if they're a senior, they can call and get help, and somebody will stay on the phone with them and call them back and help them through this.
Mm.
And that sounded like a great use of AARP resources.
Right, right.
Definitely. And even if you end up having to pay for a lawyer, it's going to cost you so much less to pay for that lawyer and have the peace of mind that comes with knowing that this is taken care of than it is to try and claw the money back or deal with the continued fallout from any of this stuff. So go ahead and avail yourself of that. If you're having a real issue, if it's become a struggle, it might feel like a kick while you're down having to pay somebody to help you, but it's going to be worth it in the long run.
You pay a mechanic when your car is broken, so you may as well pay a lawyer when your identity's broken.
Exactly.
Yeah, and some of my clients have said that their own bank has been very helpful, especially if they've got a kind of a personal relationship with their banker, you know, that they can often help somebody through this and guide them through a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. And then one last thing is, I mentioned identitytheft.gov. They do offer to help you develop a personalized recovery plan. They'll walk you through a questionnaire and come up with steps for you to follow to help recover your identity following a breach like this. It's semi-generic, so it may not apply in every circumstance, but it's worth checking out. So not a pleasant topic, but a necessary one. It's the world we live in today. Everyone deals with people trying to scam them every day. It's amazing to think about how run of the mill it's become, but it is the way we live. And so you ought to protect yourself. So before we move on, I want to stop right now and take a moment to thank some folks our patrons who make it possible for us to create the Secrets of Technology, including Wendy T, Paul B, Chris N, Deborah B, and Bradley J. Their generous donations at sqpn.com/give. make it possible for us to continue the Secrets of Technology and all the shows at StarQuest. And you can join them by visiting sqpn.com/give. And that's not a scam. That actually is very helpful. We appreciate your support. All right, let's move to some headlines. Speaking of scams, let's talk about a different kind of scams, or kind of related. Pat, I think you shared this this link with me. This is from askleo.com. It's a Facebook marketplace scams, 3 warning signs you shouldn't ignore. Facebook marketplace has become a real place where scams can happen. Let me tell you, I had three room air conditioners I had to sell last summer. And I put them on Facebook Marketplace, and one of them was this guy who like, I thought he was legit. And then he quickly wanted me to he wanted to Venmo me the money. But then I don't know. It was this whole weird series of steps. And I'm like, no, like he was going to Venmo me extra money, and then I was going to send it back to him. And it was clearly like a scam. And it's like, I just want to sell the air conditioner. Stop trying to scam me. Go away. So Facebook Marketplace scams. Couple of things. You need to stay on Facebook or wherever the conversation starts. Don't, you know, allow them to let you to use a currency that is easily untraceable. And if it's too good to be true, you know, the rest, the way it is. So, staying on Facebook, or if that's where the conversation starts, because they want to go to a place where they can hide on Facebook. Facebook has an IP address for their computer. They've set up a profile. There's more chance they can be traced there. So if they can go to WhatsApp or Signal or Telegram, they can't be traced. So, and then the other one is, you know, if you can use a credit card, you get consumer protections on that, or PayPal or something that's traceable. Don't use cryptocurrency. Don't do gift cards. Always, if someone wants a gift card, it's clearly a scam. Don't use gift cards as a kind of currency, period, ever.
Luckily, some of the stores are beginning to post notices. If you're buying a gift card, it's probably a scam, unless it's for somebody you know. Yeah.
Right. Unless it's for a gift, don't buy it to give to someone. Right.
Yeah. No, I think that Facebook's become even worse than Craigslist ever was, where just you never know what you're in for. And the turn of that, though, is that there are so many great buys. Like, you can really genuinely find some really great opportunities on Facebook Marketplace. You do need to go into it the same way you would go into anything. Be really cautious. Make sure that if you are using, a lot of people want to use apps to pay, just make sure you're using a reputable app. And that's really what it comes down to. And always verify. Like, you wouldn't hand somebody the item that you're trying to sell them without accepting the cash right then. So don't hand them the thing and they say they'll Venmo you later, or, oh, I guess it's just not come through yet. Verify that we're living in an electronic age where this happens instantaneously. Check that the money has come through before you give the item over and leave.
Right.
And the whole bit about making sure you meet in a public place, or that you come up with a way to safely exchange where you're not vulnerable, not having them come to your house, that type of thing.
I prefer the face to face as a man. That's probably a bit of a privilege for me. But most police stations have designated exchange places where you can go and make the exchange at there's a parking lot and there'll be a sign and there's a camera pointing at it. We're watching.
That's good.
But if you're buying something that can be turned on, make sure it's functional before you leave. There have been people who've bought computers or phones or whatever, and they didn't even open the box. They open it and they find rocks in it later. Or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just like,
a locked phone.
We're a locked phone. Frankly, I'm not sure I'd ever buy a phone from a market, a face to face. I would use a reputable marketplace, like Back Market, which I've used, or something like that. I don't know that I'd buy a phone from a stranger. It's probably Gazelle stolen.
Or some of the.
I'm not even sure Gazelle is even doing what they did before anymore. I think they've changed hands even.
Yeah, there's been a couple of years since I had gotten anything through them, but
So, that is a big thing. Facebook can be a great source of used goods, without having to buy something brand new. I've sold a lot of things through Facebook Marketplace, but don't get scammed, folks. That's the thing. And frankly, I try not to. If I was selling something remote, it would probably be something I wouldn't feel horrible about if I didn't get the money for it. You know what I mean? Like, I sold an old radar detector, and I'm like, I wouldn't mind getting $50 for this. I had been sitting in the car for 10 years, so I might as well get some money for it. And and I got some cash for it. But if I didn't get if I got scammed out of it, I'd be annoyed. I'd be like, "Urgh." But it wouldn't be the end of the world. So just take it for what it will.
Definitely.
All right. So our next headline is also another
different
one you
kind
shared.
Of scam.
Different kind of scam. Although I have a different perspective on this from the other side. So I'll tell you, I want to talk about it in a second. But from Gizmodo, Pat, you shared this with me. Switching your credit cards may not stop a streaming service's recurring charges. So what does that mean? You've signed up for Netflix and you want to cancel the account, but you don't want to go through the hassle of going into their account and digging into your into their service and digging into your account and finding the place where it says delete the account and going through all the steps where it wants you to. Are you sure? Are you doubly sure? Here's a dark pattern to trick you, that sort of thing. Instead, all you do is just cancel your credit card or change your credit card, or your credit card is expired and you don't bother entering the new credit card information. You think that'll be enough. They can't charge me anymore. And then the next month comes along and you see a charge. How do they do that? Well, there's a new service that the credit card agencies are, the companies, Visa and MasterCard, mostly I think, are offering, which Visa calls it the Visa Account Updater. And the way it works is It's a virtual tracking service that allows, like, a big problem for a lot of companies is expired credit cards of their customers, and then having to track down the customer to just get the new expiration date, which is usually what it is. And, you know, they lose a certain percentage, not because the person doesn't want to be a customer anymore, but because they just can't get in touch with them. And so that's the intended purpose, but it creates this unintended consequence. What do you think? I mean, is this good or bad, or just something neutral that we have to be aware of?
Well, I had a relative that said that they had canceled their credit card, and they thought that they would be able to tell them how many accounts were using that credit card. And lo and behold, all of a sudden it was being charged on one of his other cards. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's real.
So it switched to a different card with this, but from the same bank?
I'm assuming with the same bank, Yeah. But okay. but I didn't probe because it was embarrassing.
Right.
Yeah, that's basically that's what they said is, yeah, they found that they were still being charged. It had very nicely switched them over to a different credit card.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I can see from the perspective of a small vendor, like if you've got a recurring like Patreon, if you've got a recurring item coming through and then people just switch. I know that one of the Patreons that I support had that problem where they would have people sign up for annual memberships and then revoke the annual membership. And then they couldn't get it. They couldn't get it so that person didn't get the month that they signed up for,
right?
But they didn't pay for anything, you know, so they got that month for free and they didn't pay for anything. Mm-hmm. And so it's just really like, there are people that are very cruel with the way that they're using the canceling of the credit card. But, you know, on the other hand, from my perspective, if I have to change cards, it is less annoying for me to have to go in and then re-enter all of my credit card information. If, when I get an updated card number, it just automatically switches, rolls over. So there are some benefits on the consumer side.
Yeah.
Well, and I had a couple where the expiration was coming up and they didn't actually issue a different number. It was just the expiration date changed. And all of a sudden I noticed that the couple companies, they had the new expiration on there when right. I went to go change it. And I'm saying, how did they do that?
I didn't change that.
Right. Yeah. Well, and this is an issue we deal with here at StarQuest because we are supported by patrons on Patreon. And every month there's a certain number of people that whose card is declined, usually because it's expired. Card, you know, it's I look and they've been patrons for a year, 2 years, or 3 years, and that's a long time for one card to last. And so I message them, I explain, I thank them, and you know, I send another email if they don't do it, you know, by the end of the month. And there's always a few who just never get in touch with. And you know, over time that becomes significant. It's a churn. And it would be nice if, you know, it would be nice for people who just want to keep supporting us to not have to deal with that too, and to, you know, deal with the declined cards. You know, and I think of like, if I ever like had a card that was breached, that I needed to get a new card. On the one hand, like a lot of my cards, there's like one or two cards that I use for a lot of services online. And if I have to change that card, I have to go through and change a lot of services. It's just a pain. But on the other hand, I don't know if I want it to automatically update everywhere, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that could be a reason that you cancel that card. Yeah.
Right. It, yeah. What if someone stole my card, set up a new account using it? Would that just update, too?
Right.
You know, so
sticky.
There are pluses and minuses to this, and I'm not sure it's not all good. It's not all bad. But, you know. It's
just something to be aware of it is the main thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're going to cancel account, just go in and cancel it. Just don't rely on this other method. Our last headline concerns Roku, the Roku service, which is the low cost set-top TV, you know, TV set-top box that helps provide streaming services. They recently had a big meeting, a big, you know, company quarterly, you know, one of those financial meetings. And the CEO was talking about sources of revenue. And one of the things they talked about is advertising. Now, they've already talked about having ads on the Roku. I don't have a Roku myself. I have an Apple TV, so I'm not sure if the ads are already there or not. Like static ads, so just an image of a product that's being advertised. Now he's talking about having video ads on the home screen where you can't get rid of them. And in fact, they talked about Amazon on its Fire TV players last year started doing full screen video ads that you mm-hmm. can't click through, which was that would be infuriating to me to have to deal with. What do you think of this? Would you, if this happened, if you started getting video ads involuntarily on your Roku, would it change what you thought of having a Roku? Would you, if you had a Roku, would you switch?
I'm already kind of ticked off that my smart TV turns itself on every once in a while, just randomly. So,
you haven't looked at me in a minute.
That's exactly. And for the longest time, it was stuck. Like it comes with some free channels. And for the longest time, it was stuck on the always showing Hell's Kitchen episodes. So it was always Gordon Ramsay yelling at someone that it came on.
Calling someone like, a donkey.
What is wrong with this? Exactly. So, I just.
Kids learning all kinds of new lingo.
Oh, my. Yeah. No. It was bad. Right now it's on dry bar comedy. So that's not as bad.
Yeah, that's better.
But yeah, it's interesting to me that like we really have gone into this a la carte just kind of hole, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse. We wanted to move away from cable, but this is not what we wanted.
This is not better than what it's not better than what we had. I mean, in some ways it is better, but yeah, I think we all thought it was going to be less expensive than it is, uh-huh. and fewer ads than we've gotten. And we've got, everything is now getting ads. Like it's even when you're paying for it. It used to be not long ago, you pay for it means you don't get ads. Now, sorry, you get ads too.
The Amazon Prime, where all of a sudden now you're getting ads unless you pay an extra $2.99 a month.
Right.
And I hate to say, ads hacked me off so badly that I ended up paying for it. $2.99, okay, maybe I can do that. But, you know, it's just infuriating. It really is.
Death by a thousand cuts. If I had a Roku and it started showing me video ads from the home screen, it's already bad enough that Netflix and Paramount Plus too does this, where when you're just scrolling, if you pause, it starts playing sound. Mm-hmm. Like, no, mm-hmm. I don't want that.
It.
Yeah, it's like, that's bad enough. But like having an ad, it's just, and ads are just worse. I mean, the thing is, so many of us have gotten so used to watching stuff without ads that the imposition of ads is 10 times worse than if we just been watching ads all along. So.
Well, it's interesting because I feel like advertisers are going to realize soon that advertising is actually bad for them when they have this ad that just gets flung in front of someone and it's demanding their attention and they can't get past it. There's a negative association that happens there.
Now, there's a lot of places I do not do business with because I'm so hacked off with their ads.
Oh, yeah.
Who wants to be the first ad on Roku, the first video ad on Roku? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're just, everyone's going to hate you. Like, this is the way it is going to be. Oh, don't do it.
Yeah, I would try to switch, but what other service can you go to that won't have that problem in the future?
That's the trick.
Well, I want to say the Apple TV won't have ads on it, but
maybe.
But maybe at Amazon, Disney, you know, the services inside them will have the ads probably.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Apple might start showing, here's the new iPad or here's the new whatever, you know, somewhere discreetly. They may do that.
Oh, I don't mind that so much.
There's a lot of people that would feel the same way.
I know. And Melanie would mind. She's like, stop looking at that stuff. You're going to buy it.
And that's what they want.
That's what they want.
YouTube knows what I'm using to watch YouTube on. So every time I'll watch YouTube on my computer, I get ads for, you know, whatever normal stuff. But every time I watch it on my phone, here's the new Pixel 8. It's like, oh, man. Yep.
They know.
That's Google.
All right. So those are our headlines. Let's move on quickly to our picks of the week. And Pat, you're up first. What's your pick this week?
Well, this is a very tiny little Windows program. And if you've ever turned on your machine after an update or something's changed with your video resolution and your icons all rearrange themselves in weird places, this is the program for you. When you get it set the way you want, you click one thing, it pops up and saves it. And then if it gets messed up, you just click on it again and say, restore it. And it's very simple, very tiny. And I think it's free. I've never paid for it. But at any rate, it's I would go to the author's website. And that's what I put the link in the show notes for that. Not one of the major geeks or other downloaders, you know, that are around. I would go directly to their website. And but it's helped. I have a lot of people who get very frustrated because they had all of their work related things in one place and all of their genealogy stuff in another. And, you know, their desktop was arranged the way they wanted it. And then resolution changed and it just got all scrambled.
I had a Mac program that did that for me, too, but I don't have it on this computer anymore. So I don't know what it was called, but it's probably in SetApp. So. Let's go looking and set up for a window organizer.
There you go.
But, and you could post that one there.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That would, yeah. If I find it, but yeah, that is very helpful. And yeah, that is a great, and it's nice and small and free, right? Free.
Yeah.
Yep. Excellent.
Desktop. Okay.
Desktop. Okay. All right, Thomas, what's your pick this week?
So mine's actually kind of interesting. This is something that was recommended to me. And Dom, I know you're a little bit of an Obsidian geek, and mm-hmm. I am too. And so this me is too. There you go. So this is a graph based author recommendation system. So it's got the same kind of structure as like an Obsidian. And you just type in an author's name, so an author you like, and it gives you a map of similar authors that have a similar theme or structure based on other people that have read those authors. So it's a combination of, if this person has read this author, they've also likely read books by these other authors. It's not weighted, which I would really like. I would love for, you know, authors' names to be bigger the more closely related the books are. But for now, it's fantastic. It's so good. If you want to see my taste in books, just type in Ursula Le Guin's name, and that is me on that map. That is my literary preference just displayed right there.
Spotify for books.
Exactly.
It says on this, the closer two writers' names are on the graph, the more mm-hmm. likely someone will like both of them, which is interesting.
Yeah. And it bundles them too. So it, like, you'll have your horror authors in one corner and then your fantasy authors in another, and they kind of get grouped together. Oh, and let me mention the website's name. It's literature-map.com.
Oh, cool.
So I put in Tolkien, and the closest ones are Stephen King, Douglas Adams, and Neil Gaiman. Then J.K. Rowling, Isaac Asimov, Terry Pratchett, George R.R. Martin. Way up in the corner is Tom Clancy, which is interesting because mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of both. Interesting. Terry Brooks is in there. David Eddings. Yeah, it's not a bad, list. Yeah, this is fun. My wife is going to love this.
But I spent the whole evening. My wife brought this back, and she's like, "Oh, you're going to love this thing." And sure enough, I sat the whole evening and was just plugging in authors' names. And it's funny too, because like Ursula Le Guin was one of the first three that I put in, and when her graph came up, I'm like, "Oh yeah, that is 100% me right there. That's all of my authors on the page."
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to be diving into that. That's cool.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So my pick this week was born out of a need and a frustration. So anyone who's got kids of a certain age will know about Minecraft and how Minecraft can consume a child. My Minecraft addicts are not my preteen and teen boys. It's my late teen daughters. it's the stereotype thing that in your mind is that, yeah. So, and the problem is they need to use their computers for schoolwork during the day. And the temptation is here to just switch over for a minute. I don't blame them. I have the same temptations to go and do things that I should not be doing instead of my work. So I want to help them. The problem is, screen time, which is the product that Apple builds in to help you manage, you know, your children's access to things or your own access to things, doesn't work with Minecraft for Mac because Minecraft for Mac is in two parts, a launcher program, which is a regular program that is only used for 15 seconds to then launch the actual program, which is a Java executable. And ScreenTime cannot manage Java executables. Mm-hmm. Now, you could say, well, you could put a time limit on the use of the Minecraft launcher app. Sure, the lowest time limit you can put on is 1 minute. It does not take a minute to launch Minecraft, the app. Right. So,
nope.
And I've been pulling my hair out. Microsoft doesn't offer some tools, but only for on Xbox or Windows. And I just went down a rabbit hole. But I realized that there are productivity apps to help adults work without distractions, so that it blocks other apps. Usually they focus on social media and certain websites, but also other apps. I found one. There are a bunch. This one's called OneFocus. This is for the Mac. That's because that's what my daughter's using. And what it does is you can put in websites or apps, and when it's active, it will prevent you can launch the app, but you can't see it. You can't interact with it. It hides it. It keeps it in the background, which is a clever little mechanic. So you see it in the bar, the app, the launcher at the bottom, whatever, the dock. Goodness gracious, the dock at the bottom, but you can't do anything with it. And with the free version, you can set up like a particular time. Like when, you can't set up repeating schedules unless you subscribe. So it's $10 a year. It was well worth it for me to do that. It's in the App Store. So $10, and it will. I set up Monday through Friday from, you know, the morning to dinner time. They can't use Minecraft. You can also put websites in if they have a tendency to go to social media, if you could do this for yourself, and you can set it varying levels of degrees of hardness of how hard it is to bypass. You can really lock it down to make it nearly impossible for you to bypass it. I don't necessarily recommend it unless you have to, because, you know, if anything happens and you really need to get past it, you could end up getting yourself into a bind. So unless you have
another
computer. Right. Oh, and you might, if you have an especially clever and devious child, you may need to take these steps, or you yourself are especially clever and devious. You may need to take these steps for yourself. But this is for the desktop. There are other options for, like, there is Minecraft on the iPad. The screen time will block that. You know, that sort of thing. But for this was specifically a Minecraft on the Mac problem that is solving. But it also, if you just want distraction free, you know, the siren call of Facebook or Twitter is your distraction. This could help you with that, to stay on target during the day. All right. So those are our picks of the week. And that's it for our discussion. We'd love to hear from you and anything you had to say about anything we've talked about, or any questions for us, any further commentary. You can do that by commenting on the show at sqpn.com/technology, or the StarQuest Facebook page, facebook.com/StarQuestMedia, or send an email to technology@sqpn.com. Visit the StarQuest Discord community at sqpn.com/Discord, and you can find links from our discussion and our picks of the week on our show notes at starquest.fm/TEC255. Those are the show notes for today's show. starquest.fm/TEC255. You can follow Secrets of Tech in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, in any of your favorite podcast apps, or at our YouTube channel, youtube.com/StarQuestMedia, where you should also hit the bell to get notifications. And until next time, Thomas Sanherjo, thank you for joining me in sharing the secrets of technology.
It's been great.
Pat Scott, thank you as well.
It's always fun to be here.
And once again, I'm Dom Bettinelli. Thank you for listening to the Secrets of Technology on StarQuest.